Think about this story for a moment. The first lesson is that Friedman was willing to work hard, take responsibility for himself, and put himself through school. But the second, perhaps more important lesson, is that he happened to come along at a time in America where if you were willing to work hard, you could take responsibility for yourself and put yourself through school. Friedman was, at the time, what we would today call economically disadvantaged. He was an inner-city kid from the Bronx, neither of whose parents went to college. But look at how easy it was for him to get a good education. He graduated from his public high school in New York at a time when they were the envy of the world. And his first option, City College, was free. And his second option, Michigan, was just $450, and the admissions process was casual enough, apparently, that you could try one school one day and the other the next. And how did you get there? You hitchhiked, with the money that you made in the summer in your pocket, and when you arrived, you immediately got a series of really good jobs to help pay your way because the factories were looking for people. And of course they were. They had to feed the needs of the big generation just ahead of those born in the demographic trough of the 1930s and the big generation of baby boomers coming up behind them. The sense of possibility so necessary for success comes not just from inside of us or from our parents. It comes from our time, from the particular opportunities that our particular place in history present us with. For a young would-be lawyer, being born in the early 1930s was a magic time, just as being born in 1955 was for a software programmer, or being born in 1835 was for an entrepreneur. Today, Mort Janklow has an office high above Park Avenue, filled with gorgeous works of modern art, a Du Buffet, an Anselm Kiefer. He tells hilarious stories. My mother had two sisters. One lived to be 99, the other died at 90. The 99-year-old was a smart woman. She married my Uncle Al, who was the chief of sales for Maidenform. Once I said to him, "What's the rest of the country like, Uncle Al?" And he said, "Kiddo, when you leave New York, every place is Bridgeport." Janklow gives the sense that the world is his for the taking. "I've always been a big risk taker," he says. "When I built the cable company in the early stages, I was making deals where I would have been bankrupt if I hadn't pulled it off. I had confidence that I could make it work." Mort Janklow went to New York City public schools when they were at their best. Maurice Janklow went to New York City public schools when they were at their most crowded. Mort Janklow went to Columbia University Law School because demographic trough babies have their pick of selective schools. Maurice Janklow went to Brooklyn Law School, which was as good as an immigrant child could do in 1919. Mort Janklow sold his cable business for tens of millions of dollars. Maurice Janklow closed titles for $25. The story of the Janklows tells us that the meteoric rise of Joe Flom could not have happened any time. Even the most gifted of lawyers, equipped with the best of family lessons, cannot escape the limitations of their generation. "My mother was coherent until the last 5 or 6 months of her life," Mort Janklow said. "And in her delirium, she talked about things she'd never talked about before. She shed tears over her friends dying in the 1918 flu epidemic. That generation, my parents' generation, lived through a lot. They lived through that epidemic, which took, what, 10% of the world's population? Panic in the streets, friends dying, and then the First World War, then the Depression, then the Second World War. They didn't have much of a chance. That was a very tough period. My father would have been much more successful in a different kind of world."